Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom of God.
We have talked about the kingdom of heaven before, and the kingdom of God is basically the same thing, but the Lord just kindly pushed me to talk about this, and I think we can't never talk enough about this, because the Lord has really talked about the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven all the time. He's talking about the kingdom of God is upon you. When you go and pray for people, say the kingdom of God is amongst you. So he's talking about something that's within the Christian, that is within the Christian's body, that when you get saved, that the Holy Spirit feels the kingdom of God is put within you. And it's awesome because, you know, a lot of people don't understand this. And there's a lot of people, you know, that goes to church every day. And there's a lot of different religions that don't really understand this and really get a hold of this. And a lot of times it's just something that Jesus says, but they really don't understand it. And we're going to be talking about that more tonight. And Robert's got his shotgun ready to go off here, and Chris does too. And we're all got ready to get this out and really you know, talk about this tonight. And it's going to really open your eyes and help you understand the Word of God and help you understand, you know, what the kingdom of God is all about. But I like to say, you know, welcome back to the show, all of y'all that's listening. And, you know, I hope this show touches each and every one of y'all. But before we get started here, I'd like to go ahead and say a prayer before we get started here. Lord Jesus, we ask you to come upon us this hour. We ask you to pour your Spirit amongst everybody that's listening. Just pour your Spirit upon them. I ask you to just set the Holy Spirit loose through this radio show and touch each and every person. Anybody that needs a healing, let them get a healing. Anybody that needs a deliverance, let them get a deliverance. Anybody that needs their eyes open to you, Lord Jesus, let their eyes be open. I ask you to touch each and every one that's listening to this broadcast. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
So, amen. Amen. Hey, guys, how did Easter go this weekend? Everybody have a good Easter?
Oh, incredible.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes, amen. We had a wonderful time.
That's awesome. Everybody get to go hunt eggs and get to go to church and all that good stuff?
I didn't hunt any eggs, but I sure did go to church. We had sunrise service at 7 o'clock, and then I was invited to go and preach at someone's home who just got out of the hospital, unable to go to church. So Melissa and I went there, and I was able to preach there Sunday. That was a great, great service.
That's awesome. How about you, Chris? How'd your holiday go?
Oh, man, it was incredible. I went and hung out and listened to Georgie and Banov, and that was just incredible. He's got so much insight and stuff. It's just a real honor to get to spend Easter and with somebody caliber, a big hitter.
Hey, man, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Me and my wife got to go to the godparents for our kids' church this Easter and got to, you know, got to sit in service with them. They have a new minister and his wife got to preach during the main service, because he preached at the early morning service, and her message really, really, really touched all of us. I mean, you could tell the Holy Spirit was all over that service. We really enjoyed it. But it's awesome to, you know, I really think Easter is all important, Christmas and Easter, but Easter is the really big thing for us Christians because, you know, that's the day that our Lord and Savior was raised from the dead and gave us all hope, you know, And that's one of the biggest things, and that's an amazing time for a lot of us Christians. But I'm going to go ahead, we're going to get right into talking about the kingdom of God. And I'm going to go ahead and read John 3, and I'm going to go into John 3, and I'm going to go ahead and start reading that 4. John 3, 4. How can a grown man be born again? Nicodemus asked. He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time. I'm telling you the truth, replied Jesus. that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. A person is born physically of a human parent, but he is born spiritually of spirit. But do not be surprised, because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or whether it is where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born to the Spirit. How can this be? Asked Nicodemus. Jesus answered, you are a great teacher in Israel. You don't know this? I'm telling you the truth. We speak of, we know, and report what we have seen. Yet none of you is willing to accept our message. You do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world. How can you ever believe me then when I tell you about the things of heaven? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bizarre snake on the pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Savior. Whoever believes in the Son is not judged, but whoever does not believe has already been judged, because he has not believed in God's only Son. This is our judgment works. The light has came into the world, but people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. Anyone who does evil things hates the light and will not come to the light, because he does not want his evil deeds to be shown up. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, in order that the light may show that what he did in obedience to God. Now, I read the whole thing there. It got a little bit off the subject here. I just felt like I wanted to read the whole thing. But he was sitting there talking, you know, talking about the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, unless he is born of water and spirit, it person is born physically. I mean, if the kingdom of God will not come upon you, not unless you accepted Christ and you're born of the water and born of the Spirit, you can't really have the kingdom of God, because all that has to come to pass for it to be born within you as a Christian. And a lot of people don't really understand that and get that. But it's got to start somewhere, and that's where it starts in us Christians, is when we receive Jesus Christ in our heart. We receive him with our heart and confess it with our mouth. A lot of people confess it with their mouth, but they don't receive it in their heart. And that's very important to a person, that when they ask the Lord to come into their heart, that they mean it. They don't, just saying it just because their mama told them to or look good in front of their buddy, but to really mean it. But that's one thing there. But I'm going to go ahead and let Robert talk.
Good night. I mean, hello, everyone. good night, everyone.
I'm sorry.
Hello, everyone. Praise the Lord. I want to start out by pointing out that Jesus went about preaching the kingdom everywhere he went. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from the time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, over in verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Key word right there, gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom is about some good news, y'all. So hold on to that and chew on that for a second. Over in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel, there that word is again, of the kingdom.
Amen.
And healing every sickness, every disease among the people. Keep chewing on that, gang. Listen to this over in verse 24. This is what's so important about the kingdom. Jesus said, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. You hear that? The gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, the good news that Father is making way for us to experience his heavenly kingdom. Normally I wait to the end for something to read out of one of my journals, but this the Lord gave me back in September 2012. It's called The Kingdom of God. When Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled, repent and believe the gospel, the kingdom of God is at hand," this was a wake-up call to all that Father was making a move to his dominion over mankind. Father's plan of restoration was underway, and the enemy was about to be exposed. The kingdom of heaven, which is what Father desires that we all experience, was being unleashed upon the lives of physical man. This kingdom was on the outside of our reach until Jesus came and placed it on the inside of us by restoring our spirits to their original condition. We can now access all that Father has provided through our new spirits. Within us is his glory. Within us is the kingdom of God. Within us is power and authority to stop evil and to show what is pure and holy. Father left nothing out of our reach as we believe the gospel of Jesus and become one with him. All who come to Jesus have been given access to the kingdom of God that now dwells in us. We now are temples of God from which he reveals his glory. We who are in Christ are enabled to show the world that God is, and through our diligent, intimate relationship, they can see Father's plan of salvation revealed. Our reward here on the earth starts with the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in us. This reward is experiencing his presence continually, which breeds an expectancy for the will of God to come to pass in our lives, and a crown of life that we will lay at Jesus' feet at the judgment seat of Christ. The kingdom of God is, and the kingdom of heaven is, the will of our Father for you and I to experience. And he made it possible through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus went about preaching the kingdom, the good news about the kingdom. He went around demonstrating what the kingdom is all about. Isaiah 61:1-2, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news. I like the way Jesus put it in Luke 4. In Luke 4:18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The acceptable year of the Lord. Father revealed his kingdom through Christ Jesus. Father exposed the devil through the life and ministry of Christ Jesus. And all of that was done to restore humanity to our position in the Lord, to restore humanity to their capacity to access the kingdom, and more than anything, to make him Lord of our lives once again. We must make him Lord of our lives. When we call him Lord, we're saying everything belongs to him. Nothing belongs to us. When we call him Lord, we're saying even our breath belongs to him. The breath that fills up our lungs belongs to him. When we call him Lord, we're saying that he is the king of his kingdom, and we are acknowledging him for his position of authority and allowing him to reign in our lives. Amen.
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 Amen. What a mighty God. What a mighty God,
hey,
we serve.
Can I jump in right there a minute?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I just want to share some scriptures. This is one that's interesting to me because it's like Robert was just saying, be in the Lord and be all in. And I'm going to tell you why, because the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing and never perceiving and ever hearing but never understanding. And that's Mark 4:11. But this statement right here that it kind of threw me for a loop for a long time, and the Lord gave me revelation on it, and I'm so grateful. He says,
amen.
Truly, I tell you that some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom has come in power. And I kept thinking, you know, Jesus is going to return, you know. It's like that generation. I was like, God, what's up with that, you know, But then he started, and then he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now the kingdom is from another place. And then Pilate said, answered and said, Jesus and answered. And anyway, he said, so you say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason that I was born and came into the world was to testify to the truth, and everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And he also said that the Father, you know, that if you believe him, you'll believe the Father because the Father sent him. And he said, those who have seen me have seen the Father. He's the perfection of the Father. And I just think that's so cool. But I'm trying to lead into this because this is Isaiah 9. 6 and 7, it says, For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of the peace on the throne of David and over the kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. So that is awesome because the government of heaven rests upon his shoulders, and that government was established when he went on the cross and rose again and became King of Kings and Lord of Lords because he came as servant and sacrifice, but he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and also head of the body of Christ, and groom to the bride, which is us. And it's amazing that the kingdom is alive in our midst right now. He said it's at hand. It's constantly within a matter of shifting your focus on him. You can be, in the spirit that quick, just a matter of shifting your focus, your attentions, your affections. And that's where the visions and, you know, hearing God, it's simply focusing everything within you on him and being able, I mean, that's the way you hear him. And you do a lot of that by faith, but that's so important for the renewing of the mind, you know, but you being translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light immediately when you're born again, when you meant it, when you accept that sacrifice and you're born again, you're instantly in the kingdom of light. But that's some good stuff.
Amen. Amen. It is. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you didn't have anything to say, I want to read something else. I have another writing. This one here, Holy Spirit gave me in January of 2013. It's titled, The Time Fulfilled. The time had come for him to reveal all that was prophesied about Messiah and what he would do. The time had come for the Lamb of God to position himself for our sacrifice. The time had come for every curse on mankind to be broken. The time had come to restore mankind to their original condition. The time had come for all to see who we were created to be and to expose the adversary of God. The time had come for Father's promise to the serpent to be executed in all realms of existence. In Mark's gospel, Jesus opens up by letting us know that it is time for the shift of power to take place as he began to reveal Father's plan through the kingdom of God. The time had come that all sin would be dealt with and no more sacrifice would be necessary. Time is fulfilled in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Woo! Amen.
Amen.
I'm a praise. It was something awesome. Y'all sitting here talking about this, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit put my eyes. I got like a little picture of Joan of Arc in here. This is something I've had in here forever. And I was looking at the body. The kingdom of God is when you receive Christ, He has entered into you. And when he's inside of you, your body is his temple. Your body is his temple. Your body is his world. That's where he is, a part of him is. He starts turning you inside into his kingdom. And the more you start reading the word of God, the more you really dig deep into the spiritual part of your life and get into the word and let him, the kingdom that he's living in within inside of you expands. It expands daily. It expands every time you pray, every time you reach out to him, it expands. Him was inside of you, Jesus was inside of you that came in and lived within inside of you starts expanding. Before you know it, the kingdom that he's growing inside of you, it comes outside of you. I mean, you know, miracles, all type of things start happening because the kingdom that God is building inside of you is expanding. It's expanding. And you see so many people in churches today that, you know, nothing's going on. There's nothing going on. I mean, they don't understand this. There's nothing going on because God is not really growing inside them. Christ isn't, I mean, your spirit is not being fed. Your spirit's not being fed. Christ inside of you is just there, still a seed. That's why a Christian has to mature. He has to grow. If you never really mature or grow, you know, he's not really growing that much inside of you. He's already there. He just wants you to just to dig into him and let him bring that out. But it's awesome to know what God, what Jesus is doing with inside of you, what he's expanding, what he is changing inside of you, turning you into his perfect vessel that he can live with inside of us. And a lot of times what our problems is that, you know, we turn into the world. You know, we become Christians, and then, you know, we don't really stick in the word. We get into the world, and we start putting all that stuff into us. And it kind of blinds us from what we need to be doing to look more to Christ, for us to grow in the word, for us to grow in Christ, and let his kingdom come outside of us. Because when the Lord would tell the disciples to go out and pray for people, he said, the kingdom is amongst you. He didn't say it's over here or over there. He says it's amongst you. They was amongst these people. He would say, stand a little bit to the left. You'll be in the kingdom right there. There you are. He didn't say that. He said, the kingdom is amongst you. So the person is amongst them. The disciples was amongst them. The kingdom was inside of them, inside the disciples. And that's the thing. And, I mean, a lot of people get to the kingdom mixed up, but it's inside of the Christian. The kingdom is growing within inside the Christian. And when it starts overflowing, the kingdom is so big, you know, the Lord is outpouring out of them constantly. Miracles, you know, people get saved. You're standing at the at the grocery store and somebody falls over behind you because the presence of the Lord hit them and they start testifying, you know, all type of things like that. That's because the kingdom is growing within inside of that person. And that's why it's so important to live the life of Christ, to try to model his life. I know it ain't easy, but the Holy Spirit helps guide you in that path. And the more you start trying to step in his footsteps, see, he is our example. He's the one we're supposed to be trying to live like. That's why we have the Holy Spirit there to help guide us to that. But if we never use them, what's the point? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to do what Christ asks us to do.
I mean, what he put inside of us, we're supposed to use it. Use it to look like him. Not to just say, well, we got saved, we're good, let's go back into the world now. Not that. But actually to mature as Christians. Go ahead, Robert.
You know, one of the things I would like to point out tonight, over in the book of Samuel chapter 8, 1 Samuel chapter 8, we read there that the children of Israel rejected Samuel's sons. The children of Israel before Samuel's sons rejected Eli and his sons. These were judges over Israel. These were people who were set up to be like mediator between father and humanity. These people rejected them because their lifestyles were contrary to God, contrary to the will of God. They were cheating and robbing and stealing. They were having sex in the temple and doing all kinds of crazy things that they weren't supposed to do. So the people came, and follow me on this. The people requested a king, and it upset Father because Father was their king. They wanted to be like the rest of the world. Like you just said, Stan, the world gets involved in people's lives. People get so wrapped up in the world that they stop recognizing and stop focusing on the kingdom, stop focusing on relationship with the Lord. Well, this is what was happening here. The children of Israel said, we want a king like all the other nations. They started rebelling. And Father told Samuel, he said, okay, you give them a king. You go ahead and give them an earthly king and tell them what it's going to do, how he's going to take their children, how he's going to take their crops, how he's going to take them and put them into battle against other nations and all kinds of things. He pointed out his displeasure because they were rebelling and rejecting him as their king. Father was attempting to be the king of the children of Israel and demonstrate the kingdom in their lives through the covenant that he had established with Abraham, which was the blessing of the kingdom upon their lives, removal from the curse that was on the earth and the blessings coming upon them, which is a demonstration of his kingdom. But the people rejected him. They rebelled against him, and they said, we want a king. We want to be like the rest of the people on the earth. We want a physical man that we can look at that'll order us around and treat us like garbage. Father said, go ahead and tell them that that's what's going to happen when they get a king. They thought they wanted a king, but Saul didn't turn out to be a good king. He gave them what they wanted. He gave them what they asked for, and it wasn't what he desired to give them. He desired to give them what we see Jesus giving them. He desired to give them what he gave Abraham and how he established that covenant with Abraham. He desired to do good and great things and continue to bless them. But yeah, there was a few bad apples that rose up in the court that was taking bribes and treating people wrong. So they got upset, angry, and rejected God for that. But I just wanted to bring that out, how the kingdom that Father was trying to demonstrate and display in their lives is the same kingdom that he's always tried to demonstrate in the lives of mankind. And here we see an example of them rejecting and rebelling. In Jesus, we get an opportunity to experience this kingdom again and not have all these bad repercussions that they experience. His kingdom, it is at hand. It is within us. It is not something that you can point and say, there it is or here it is. It is within us. And everywhere we go, we're supposed to be so in love with him that his kingdom is being seen by all men. We have to recognize him as the king, and that his word is law, and
that there's nothing greater than what our King says. His word, it is bond. His word, it is law, and I am going to obey it, and I'm going to esteem it greater than what a doctor would say, a lawyer would say, what a bill collector would say, just anything. You just have to take his word. He is King. Make him King. That's what I'm trying to say. Make him King. Make him Lord. And then esteem his word greater than anything, highest authority in your life, and watch the kingdom manifest. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus exalted Father's word high up, one of the main reasons why his kingdom was displayed out of the Son's life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The cool thing about it is I think it's Revelations 3:20 that says that he's the door. And like with the Revelations, he calls John up. And John actually encounters the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And there's been saints and multitudes of Christians that have had experiences of the kingdom and heaven and stuff like that. And my brother's one of them that actually died and was actually entered into heaven or the kingdom. I'm not sure exactly he had an after death experience, and we brought him back to life because he drowned. Uh-huh. And it was, uh-huh. I mean, that changed his life forever. From that moment on, his paradigm shifted, and you know, it's like truth became reality to him, because he was saved. He was saved, but to actually encounter that spiritual realm where, you know, I mean, I imagine it would kind of deepen the revelation of the Lord and God in your life. But but it's cool, because I believe that you can have access and have experience, and God makes himself really real to you. But I think it all starts with faith and believing in Jesus and believing the word and the Father reaching out and drawing you into him, and you responding, because your will is so, I mean, you're so free, you know, and he's not gonna override your will. That's the thing about he loved us so much that he gave us a free will above everything else. He gave us a free will and ability to respond and think and reason and have faith and believe and all that stuff. And that's probably one of the greatest gifts that he's given us, you know. And he just keeps making life better and better, you know, because he, like I think about that scripture that, to make known the glory, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Oh.
And the more that's happening and the more it happens in the world, the better that life is getting for us, because, you know, people are just growing in the knowledge. And now with the internet and a worldwide connection, I mean, things happen quickly. And, I mean, we're in a time that is far surpassed any other time. I mean, we have the ability to go after God now at greater levels than anybody has ever had. At our fingertips, you can have a phone, a smartphone, where you can look something up immediately. And
that's
right. It's like, I just don't believe that deception can keep reigning, because God's so much bigger than the enemy and the devil and all that stuff. And I just believe that hell cannot prevail, because God is so much bigger. And I believe that that he had the plan from the get-go. I don't think anything surprised him, you know. I think that I believe that he knows exactly who you are. And I mean, the word says that Jesus was slain from the beginning of time, you know, before the foundation of the earth, that he was the lamb that was slaughtered, or, you know, the sacrifice. And, man, that's just amazing to me to even think about, because when you start thinking about the kingdom of God from that perspective, you start thinking about, like, how it was before it is. And faith comes into the picture, and God calls things that be not as they are, you know, and because he said it, it is. And the cool thing about it is when you start reading the Bible and you start seeing what God says about you, that he loves you, and that you're, I mean, really, he speaks faith over you. He calls you without, I mean, like, through the blood of Jesus, he looks at you without spot or blemish, and it's in the blood of Jesus that you're looked upon that way, because all that, the failures, and it says our righteousness at our very best wears filthy rags, you know, and
amen.
And that's wild to think about, because even at our very best, we fall way short of the glory of God, you know, and Jesus was that sacrifice to bring that relationship and that acceptance to him, you know, and he don't look at any of our wrongdoing anymore. And I believe that's a once and for all thing, you know, that he has made you righteous in him. And I believe that's a gift. It ain't something that can be taken away once, but it is up to you to receive it by faith, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what gets you there is receiving it by faith and walking in relationship with him and being all in, being all in. And man, I mean, it's nothing but good from that point on.
Come on,
you know.
Amen. Yeah, Chris, I could really get wacky spiritual with that, because when you're seeing in the spirit, you can see what the kingdom is. You can see how it's manifest and how God's manifesting through it, and it can go very deep about where the kingdom is. The kingdom of God is actually inside of you. I saw it. I saw it come in and out, but it's. I'm going to explain it. I don't know whether y'all can accept it, but here it goes. What I have experienced, I was thinking about the kingdom of God one day. I was trying to understand what it is, and I was looking around in spirit. I saw little angels and stuff going on here, and they was coming in and out of me. They was coming in and out of me. It was like a portal that was within my belly that God has made there. It was a portal to heaven. Now, it wasn't actually going inside my body. It started there and going there. That's what God has put there. It was a portal of heaven. So they can access. So whatever you want that to be, it could be that. I mean, if you have not been saved and that thing has turned into hell, you got things from hell coming in and out of you, and your life is showing that. But when Christ has came and lived inside you and built his kingdom, He designed a door inside of you where he can come in and out through you.
Mm-hmm.
So that door is there.
Yeah.
And the more you get into the Word of God, the more that door expands inside of you. It's a portal inside of you. And it's out there, God. But I mean, this is what I've actually seen, and it was kind of unique to me. I'm just, you know, but it's there. It's a portal that you have what's inside you that God has created.
I like to think of it like this. It's like an arena, because see, your thoughts and all that you are inside of you, but you also have, like, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not, you know, you're going to have like evil. I mean, because there's evil around, and there's people that are ruled a lot by evil. And also, like I heard Kenneth Hagin say it like this. He said, "You can't stop a thought from coming, but you can keep it from staying there. Like it's like a bird flying over your head. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair. You know, so it's like that. You just have to.
In your brain.
There's that scripture that says to cast down everything that imputes itself against the knowledge of God. So you cast those thoughts down, and you cast that evil down. And ultimately, like media and stuff like that, the enemy will try to get in through things like that. But the more the more that you renew your mind and you go after God, the more that you'll start shutting doors to, like, things you watch and what you subject yourself to. Because, I mean, the Bible says that not every, I mean, all things, how does it say it? It says all things are permissible, but not everything is profitable. And, I mean, you can be subjected to that stuff. And it says it a couple of times in Galatians. And but the thing is, it does you no good. I mean, it's better off, like, and you'll get to the point where you're so full of the Lord and so hungry for the Lord, and you're so delighted in the Lord that stuff, like, you don't even pay it no attention. You just let it roll off your back. And it's funny because you'll get so filled with his love that when you're around that stuff, you just kind of laugh. And, I mean, you get full of joy, and you can't help but to be, like, contagious. I mean, because God's goodness is very contagious, and the world's longing for that fulfillment. I don't believe you can find it anywhere but in God. The fullness and the fulfillment of life, it's only found in him.
Only.
And,
Amen.
And I believe when you're walking in the perfect will of God for your life, that there's that you feel satisfied. You get full, you know. Jesus said, "Come to me, you who thirst, and I'll give you water, and you'll thirst no more." You know, it's like a satisfying there, and it's like he teaches you how to really enjoy life and what life is all about, and it's eternal. So it's without end, and it just keeps getting better and better. And even if you do endure some hardship for him, you know, and I believe that the rewards of heaven that you're going to get, your life's like a vapor. I mean, you're only here for a little while. And the older I get, the more I see that. And the more eternal-minded I get, the more I see that. And it's like you start doing more good instead of bad. Like when you have somebody break out mad at you at work or something like that, it's easier to respond godly because you have more of a eternal mindset than you do. Look at me, this is affecting me in the here and now, and it stinks or whatever. But,
let me interject right there, because what you just said is this. Jesus said, enter my rest. Okay, focus on this right quick. Enter my rest. How do you enter his rest? Here's the first thing, one of the last things I wanted to say about the kingdom while we got time. Picture the earthly kingdoms in our world today. All right, one, Great Britain. Great Britain came and colonized different parts of the world. Spain went and colonized different parts of the world. There's different countries that sent ships out all over the world, and they colonized these places. Okay, I'm saying this, and I'm hoping that our listeners are listening closely, because this is an example of kingdom life. This is what Jesus is trying to get established. The reason why he said the time is fulfilled is because the Romans had this type of government set up that was the closest thing to the kingdom of heaven at that time, from the time of the fall of man to the time that he came. The time was fulfilled because the government that was upon the earth, the Romans was trying to let the people live, but they were still trying to teach them their ways, and they were still trying to govern their affairs and lord over them, okay? That's the same thing that's true with Britain. Britain established a colony, and it was called Crown Land. Today it's called the Bahamas. They taught the people how to speak the language of Britain, of England. They taught the people how to sing their songs and how to sit at a table, eat with a fork, spoon, and knife as little children. They taught them the culture of their kingdom. Okay?
Father sent the Son to teach us the culture of his kingdom. And we as citizens of the kingdom are supposed to enter into his rest, rely on him to provide for us. The king owns everything. The Lord owns everything. And we are stewards over what he owns. We plant fields and crops, and then we give him a portion of what we plant. That was the way they lived their lives throughout history. If you look at the history of England and how they did things, you'll see what I'm saying is true. The culture of the Bahamians, they literally were told, taught, and trained how to be a colony of England. And that is the same thing that Jesus is doing in our lives today. They didn't have to go in battles. The king sent warships. The king sent airplanes. They sent armies out to fight for the citizens of the kingdom. And that's what Father is doing with his angels. They're going out fighting our battles for us. He encamps his angels round about us to protect us from harm. That's kingdom life. Enter into his rest. He has provided protection. He has provided food. He has provided finance. He has provided health. He has provided deliverance. And this is the life, the good news of the kingdom that Jesus was preaching everywhere he went, trying to get people to focus on how Father desires to be our king once again. He's trying to be our king.
Amen.
He's trying to teach us his culture. Amen.
Amen. And one thing I'd like to add there, the only way that I have in my time that activates the kingdom is love. See, we're supposed to be in a rest of love, not fighting, but in love with people, you know, trying to show the love of God. And a lot of people, you know, in the church, we're too busy trying to fight for Christ and, you know, this and that. But I've noticed, you know, in my Christian walk, the more I would go into, you know, loving the person and showing the person love and stuff and tell them good things and really trying to open it up, I really see God move more. I see God move more. No matter what the situation is, when we try to transform it from, you know, the bad part and trying to show the love of God, then God sends the angels in to transform it. Because, you know, if you get in a situation with a brother and you're sitting there and just say you're in your human mind and you're sitting there saying this and you're saying that, and you're saying this and you're saying that, okay, God doesn't send any help in there until you flip over to his side, which is love. So when you start praying for your brother and your sister, and you start showing them love and praying blessings over your brother, no matter what the situation is, then he sends help in to shove whatever negativity out. Because that's what really activates, that what really activates the kingdom of God is love. Now, if you're trying to jump into the kingdom with hate and strife, you won't see a lot move. I guarantee you, you will not see a lot move. But when you walk into the kingdom with love and showing love no matter what the situation is, the kingdom will activate. You'll start seeing God move people out of situations. You'll start seeing things move in your life. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I've learned the hard way like a lot of people have. So just sitting back and looking and learning from the Lord of how he loves each and every one of us and how he teaches us through love will be a big example to us in our life, that if we walk in the same example, we will see things, you know, happen and see our lives change. And
amen.
The kingdom is of love. It's not of hate and strife. It is of love. And the angels will be activated during this. And it's awesome, man, how he is with us. He loves us so, so much. And no matter what situation we've been into, no matter if we fail, if we've hit the floor and we're crawling to him, he still loves you the same as he did the day that you asked him to come in your life. He loves you that the same way. He's never changed his mind about you. That's the problem. We think he changes with the tone of the day. One minute he's thinking about whether he likes you or not. Next minute he loves you. Next minute His mind has changed back and forth is what we're thinking. But no, he's never changed how he loves you. He's never changed that. And once you understand that and get that into your being, that's what's going to change you. That's what's going to change you when you understand the Father's love on you. He's never changed.
Amen.
The only one that's changed is how the enemy changes his mind, trying to get your mind changed from day to day about the Father. But the Father himself has never changed his mind about you when you accepted his Son. He loves you. He loves you. He only sees Jesus Christ in you. When his blood, when Christ's blood came upon you, when he accepted him, he sees you as his Son. That's
Amen.
Why it's so important to accept the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Stanley, he's got your picture in his back pocket, Stanley.
Amen.
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 Amen. He's friended you on Facebook.
Come on. Yeah. He's praise liking all your posts. He's liking all your posts.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
That's good.
Praise the Lord. Don't we serve
Amen.
A mighty God? We serve
Amen.
A mighty,
Amen.
Wonderful, omnipotent, magnificent, and marvelous Father. He is so good
Amen.
To us.
Amen.
Amen.
He loves us more than nobody even can come close to knowing. He loves you that much. It's
yes.
just, you know, the enemy tries to blind our eyes where we can live like him instead of like the Father. And the Father is trying to pull them
mm-hmm.
glasses off of your eyes where you can see his love. And it's extreme. It's
yes.
such an extreme that you will fall into joy and laughter when you know his love for you.
Yes.
And that's the one
yes.
thing that, you know, we try to teach and preach and get people to understand and what you have through Christ. It's so very important for you to understand that, folks, because people,
mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how close it is for him to come back, and you need his Son so desperately. You need to be calling for his Son in your life because it is very vital right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Mm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think that's where we're supposed to be praying with the people right there, Stan, if you don't mind. I want the audience to, if there's anybody out there right now who has never accepted Jesus as Lord, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Jesus,
Jesus.
I believe what you have done for me. I believe that you have saved me. I believe that you have forgiven me of my sins.
I believe you have forgiven me.
I believe that I have a new spirit.
I believe I have a new spirit.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
And believe in my heart.
Believe in my heart.
That you are Lord. Now I am saved. I renounce Satan. I hate evil. Thank you, Jesus. For saving me. Now take my life. And do something with it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome to the family, folks.
Yeah,
welcome
hallelujah.
To the family, folks.
Woo, I'm doing the shindig over here, praise Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise
Amen. Anybody's got any ailments wrong with them right now, I've got to do a quick one because the show is just about over. If you have a problem with your knee, your stomach, wherever the situation is, just put your hand on that area right now. just put your hand on that area right now. That's just showing your faith in this prayer. That's all it is. It's activating the faith. Just put your hand on that area right now. And I'm going to go ahead and pray. In Jesus' name, I command pain to leave. I command pain to leave out of the knees, out of the legs. I command the pain to leave now. I bind and rebuke it. Spirit of that pain, I command to break loose now in Jesus' name. I command you to be fully free of pain now, arthritis. I bind you and rebuke you and command you to leave the joints.
Yes.
And the hands, I command you to leave now.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit of infirmity, I command you to break out of the chest, break out of the sinuses now in Jesus' name, and leave mm-hmm. now and forever and never return in Jesus' holy name. Break loose now. I command sinuses to be open. I command lungs to be free and healed. I command bones to be healed. I command muscles to be transformed and healed in Jesus' name. I command bones to be fully healed and transformed and healed together in Jesus' name. I command all tendons to be completely healed now in Jesus' name. I command migraines to leave in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of migraines, I bind you and rebuke you and command you to leave now in Jesus' name. Break free. I command wholeness over everybody's body is listening here. I command wholeness now in Jesus' name. I command their body to line up with the word of God. I command their body to line up with the word of God right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Yes,
so it is.
Hallelujah.
So it is.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I want to thank everybody for listening to the show today, and I do want to advertise the July the 11th event. It's called the Healing Light Conference. It's going to be on Saturday, July 11th. It's going to be Robert, co-host Robert, co-host Chuck McDonald, our guest speaker, Heath Adams, and Reverend Jacob Phillips, and yours truly, me, Reverend Stan, is going to be there, and we're going to be speaking, and we're going to have... The praise and worship band is going to be Robert and Erica Jordan. They're going to be leading the praise and worship, and we're expecting miracles to happen. Come expecting
yes.
God to transform you, to transform
yes.
your mind, to reveal himself to you that day, because we're really expecting great things to happen. When we created this event, we set it out, and the Lord really gave us eye-opening to this. We had a great, God has put a great calling on this conference, and we're expecting the Lord to do a lot to this conference, a lot to the people in this conference, and he's going to touch each and every one of y'all. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great thing. So just, you know, if you want to know any more information, just call me at 828-461-3604. The address is 2936 North Carolina Highway, 127 South, Hickory, North Carolina, 28602. And it's going to be right beside the Marketplace Church, right there at Suit 2940. Like I said, folks, if you want to know anything else, you can go to Stan Shell on Facebook or go to the Healing Light page and find out some more information about this. But this is going to be a great event.
Amen.
And this is something to not miss. And, Robert, you have anything to say about your church, about another service you're going to have?
Yes, this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. here at 1628 Lee Huss Lane, His Reflection Church. We'll start service promptly. Come early if you'd like and pray with us. And I generally start worshiping about 10:20, singing songs, hands lifted up, just exalting Jesus, because that's what we do. We're learning how to be his reflection, learning how to use those keys to the kingdom that he has placed in each and every one of us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Chris,
amen.
You have any prayer, anything you want to say for people?
No, I just want to say bless all of you listeners, and may you all grow and know the kingdom of God and understand more about the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name,
amen.
I just bless y'all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless it. God bless every one of y'all, and we will be back Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Until then, God bless every one of y'all, and I hope, you know, God really reveals himself in y'all's lives this weekend and just blow your mind with amazing goodness and love of God just spewing through you and just revealing things through you this whole weekend. God bless you, and we'll see you Saturday morning.